Now, if you're with us this morning, you'll remember that we were sharing a wonderful prayer. We won't go over that now. A wonderful prayer of Asa in the second book of Chronicles. A wonderful prayer. And I want to speak this evening, as God will help us, on a wonderful testimony. A wonderful testimony. We read it in that little phrase there in Nahum chapter 1, where Nahum bursts out in this word of testimony, and he says this very simply: the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Have you got a word of testimony? Now, a word of testimony isn't just giving some words, a statement. If you give a testimony, you give it out of the experience of your own heart. That's a true testimony. It's not just phrases. It's not just giving a speech. We used to have, more often we have now, what were called testimony meetings, when believers, one and another, young and old, would be able to stand and give testimony to what God had done for them and in them and through them to the glory of God. A testimony is given because something has been proved in the life of the one who is giving that testimony. Can you see that? A true testimony is given by one who is able to speak out of the experience of his own heart. So Nahum, in this wonderful testimony, not just words, he could say, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Nahum, how can you say that? And Nahum would reply, I'm sure, I proved it. I proved it in my own life. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? And the world is waiting to hear your testimony and my testimony, by life and by lip. You might say, well, I'm not a great speaker. I'm shy in front of people. I find it difficult. Friend, if you forget much from this evening, surely you can give this testimony, if you're a believer, in these few words. The Lord is good. You might not be able to say anything else, but if you can say that to the glory of God, God alone knows what a blessing and challenge that may be to the one to whom you're speaking and sharing that testimony. And in this testimony of Nahum, he speaks of God's nature and God's character. He speaks of God's activity on behalf of his own people. And thirdly, he speaks of God's infinite wisdom and knowledge toward his people. But I repeat that, he speaks in his testimony of God's nature and character and being. Secondly, God's activity on behalf of his people. Thirdly, God's infinite wisdom and knowledge toward his people. A vibrant testimony he is giving. Let's look at this for a moment. Nahum, who was he? We don't know very much about him at all. His name is interesting. It means consolation or comfort. So if you found it difficult to call him by name, you can call him consolation or comfort. That is what his name means. You will remember that under the preaching of Jonah, the whole city of Nineveh turned, we read, to God. The whole city of Nineveh turned to God under the preaching of Jonah. But when Nahum came to Nineveh, about 150 years after Jonah, Nahum found the city of Nineveh no longer rejoicing in God and in his word and his laws, but the whole city given over to gross wickedness. The whole picture had been changed from the days of Noah, when the city turned to God in repentance. 150 years elapsed. Nahum, the son of comfort, came to this same place. He tells us in verse 1, Nineveh. And the city was filled with wickedness. Now the first few verses that we read in Nahum chapter 1, they're very solemn and very serious verses. It speaks of God's wrath, of God's anger, of God's judgment. Did you notice it in the reading? The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, the earth is burned at God's presence. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide the fierceness of his anger? What a picture! God's fury being poured out like fire and the rocks being thrown down by him. It's a very graphic picture of God's anger against the city of Nineveh because of their great wickedness. And the days in which we live, it's only the mercy of God that his hand is withheld, beloved. The wickedness, the gross wickedness that we see in our own land, it's of God's mercies that we're not yet consumed. And Nahum comes on the scene, and he recognizes that God is a jealous God. He recognizes that the Lord revengeth. He speaks of God as furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversary. He reserveth his wrath for his enemies. Who can stand before his indignation? But then you have this wonderful testimony, this wonderful jewel, if you like, in verse 7 of our text. What a wonderful verse it is. Nahum is able to stand up, as it were, in this wicked age in which he found himself. And he could raise his voice in this testimony of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. I liken it to a precious jewel. You have that so often in Scripture, in the Old Testament particularly, difficult passages. Passages that speak of the anger and the wrath and the justice of God. And all of a sudden a jewel shines out. And here we have a wonderful jewel. There's a threefold cord, if you like, of assurance in this vibrant testimony. Nahum is speaking out of the experience of his own heart. This lone voice, if you like, in the midst of so much corruption, and he stands in triumph with this testimony. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. So what we're going to do, dear friend, is just going to look in some detail at these three wonderful headings in the testimony which Nahum gives. The first is this: the Lord is good. Nahum reminds us of the nature and the being of God. Friend, are you able to say tonight, the Lord is good? Someone said that to me this morning as they were leaving the church. What a testimony! The Lord is good. You may not be able to say much more. But if you can speak out of the experience of your own heart, because you have proved the goodness of God in your own life, and you're using that as a testimony to the glory of God. The Lord is good. We sometimes sing, yes, God is good, in earth and sky, from ocean depths to spreading wood, 10,000 voices seem to cry, God made us all, and God is good. He is good, isn't he? And you might say, I repeat this, you might say, well, I find it difficult to share my testimony. Well, just tell others that the Lord is good. And they'll begin to ask perhaps another question. Who is this one? And you're able to then share the gospel with friends and neighbors and families. The Lord is good. That's his nature. That's his being. Now we could spend a long time this evening thinking about these words. The Lord is good. He is good. Let me just suggest one or two reasons for which we can say that God is good. First of all, because he supplies our every need. He supplies our every need. We sing, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. The Lord is good. The Lord is good because he supplies our every need. In fact, he blesses us far more than we deserve. Far more. The Lord is good. He supplies our every need. Isaac Watts sums it up in this way. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. I know this is basic, but day by day as we receive our food, we have clothing, we have a measure of health and strength, we have homes and families and loved ones. Just keep on reminding yourself of this. The Lord is good. He supplies our every material need. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. There are multitudes today across the world who hardly have a crust of bread. Cry out for a drink of water. Don't forget that. The Lord is good because he does supply our every need. Pray that God would make you to be content with such things as you have. Oh, for a contented heart. In this age, in this world, when people are not satisfied, and they long for more, and they grab for more, and they become greedy and selfish. Oh, the Lord is good, because he supplies our every need. But there's another reason that we could say tonight that the Lord is good, I believe, because of his infinite patience and long-suffering and mercy toward us. I wonder if you ever think of this, friend. We mentioned it, we touched upon it in our prayer this evening, didn't we? God is good because he's long-suffering, because he is patient toward us, because his mercy is so great. Numbers of the psalmists speak of God's mercy being so great, so majestic. And I want us to remember this tonight. The Lord is good because of his infinite patience toward you and toward me. Because of his long suffering. Because of the mercy that he shows to us. We quote again another great hymn of Charles Wesley. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. The number of times that God has spoken to you in days, weeks, months, years that have passed, and you heeded not that call, and you turned away in your selfishness and in your rebellion and in your hate of God and of his word and his laws. But God has brought you here tonight. God is long-suffering. God is patient. God is merciful. The Lord is good. Very good. Don't abuse it. Don't take it for granted. But then thirdly, we could say, the Lord is good because he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Herein, his goodness excels. He's not dealt with us as we deserve. He has been kind. He has been gracious. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. If thou, Lord, says the psalmist, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who could stand? Who of us could stand in the presence of Almighty God with the exposure of our hearts before his all-seeing eye, and cast up on the wall would be all our sins and all our failings for the congregation to see? If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, who of us could stand? We would blush, we would weep, we would rush out of the door. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That's why God is good. He's not dealt with us after our sins. The psalmist could say in Psalm 86, for thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. My mind goes to Psalm 103, those wonderful words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Is God stirring up your heart tonight? You bursting forth, as it were, and saying, God is good. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. On and on and on it goes in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul. And our desire should be to make his goodness known. That's what this testimony is all about. Nahum, able to stand up in this scene of desolation, and with the fury and anger of God, he's like a jewel. He's able to say, God is good. I proved it in my own life. And our desire, if you're a believer, should be to go and make him known in these few simple words, the Lord is good. Telling others, telling others. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 34 verse 8. How is he able to say that? Because he's proved it so. You've got to look behind these statements. He's not just making a wild kind of statement. Oh, taste, because I have tasted, I want you to taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. But secondly, Nahum speaks of God's activity on behalf of his own people in these wonderful words. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. A stronghold in the day of trouble. In other words, in this testimony, he can give this fact of the unfailing protection of the Lord. Remember, he's standing up in a situation, in a scene of seeming desolation, and all around are ripe for judgment. But he can say in his testimony, I have a defense. I am safe. The Lord is good, because he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. This is part of the manifestation of God's goodness, isn't it? This is all part of his goodness, that to his people he becomes a stronghold in the day of trouble. So many of the psalms again speak of this. Psalm 144 verse 2, my goodness and my fortress, he is my high tower, he is my deliverer, he is my shield, he in whom I trust. The lovely psalm there, Psalm 144 verse 2, where the psalmist again speaks of this fact that God is to him as a stronghold. He is my goodness. He is my fortress. He is my high tower. He is my deliverer. He is my shield, in whom I trust, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Dear friends, storms will come. Storms will come to each one of us. We must be prepared for such times. Any other refuge apart from the living God, who is a stronghold, any other refuge is aimless, is futile, will not help us, will not strengthen us in the hour of need. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The Lord is a stronghold. Isn't that wonderful? He'll keep you. He'll preserve you. He'll shelter you. And Nahum is speaking out of the experience of his own heart. He's proved the reality of these words. Listen again to one of the psalmists, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, here is the confession of an honest heart. I was almost overwhelmed, but the Lord has been a stronghold to me. I could never keep myself. He must hold me fast. And he will hold me fast if I'm his child. And I ought to be able to speak with courage and with conviction and with boldness to the world in which I live and you live, being able to give this living, vibrant testimony. The Lord is good. And he is a stronghold to them that trust in him. The confession of an honest heart. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isn't that wonderful? When you feel overwhelmed, there's a rock, there's a shelter. Christ, come in. Be safe, be covered, be protected. The declaration in this statement of a past experience. For the psalmist could say, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And when I looked at that verse carefully, the word that seemed to leap out for me was this word, hast, for thou hast been a shelter for me. In other words, the psalmist is again speaking out of the experience of his own heart. There's someone here this evening, and you're able to give testimony to this wonderful fact that you have proved in the past that God has been a shelter for you. Thou hast been, and you will be, ever with me. So you speak out of a past experience. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. But also there is the confidence of a peaceful assurance. For the psalmist could say in that psalm, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And then you have the word Selah. The confidence of a peaceful assurance. I will abide. I will abide forever. I will know the covering. It's a lovely picture. I'll know the covert of thy wings. Isn't that lovely? As it were, like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. What a lovely picture of the Lord protecting us. A stronghold in the day of trouble. Those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know it is well. It is well with my soul. That's your testimony. If you're a believer and you're able to speak with confidence and boldness and full assurance. The writer to the Proverbs says in Proverbs 18 verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. I love that verse. The name of the Lord, the character, the being, the nature of God, not just the name, but the whole being of the Lord is like a strong tower. We run in and we are safe. God's nature and being, God is good. The infinite, unfailing protection, he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. So it may be this week you're going to face trouble you never yet imagined, and you might wonder how you're going to cope and get through. Well, may this verse, this testimony of Nahum, be a strength to you. And run into that shelter. Hide in the Lord. Hiding and hiding. I'm hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages. I'm hiding in thee. But that's not the end. There's one more wonderful point in Nahum's testimony, where he speaks of God's infinite wisdom and knowledge toward his people. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Oh, what a wonderful note upon which to close. He knoweth them that trust in him. He is mindful. He has full knowledge. He has full understanding of you and of me. Now we might say, we know certain people. I know you and you know me. What's so wonderful about this third phrase in the testimony? It's something very, very wonderful. Very wonderful. He knoweth, not just a casual knowledge, but a deep knowledge. That's what it is here. A deep, deep knowledge God has of every one of his children. Multitudes hate him, hate his word, and his anger is to be poured out upon them at the last. But the Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And as you go through the Psalms and many of the scriptures, you've got this wonderful thought coming out. The infinite knowledge of God of each one of his beloved children. It's not a common knowledge. It's not just the Lord saying, oh yes, I know you, yes, I know you. No, it's something very deep, this word. Something very, very wonderful. Remember the psalmist could say in Psalm 1 verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. It's the same word as is given there. It's not a casual knowledge. God knows in a special way the way of the righteous. Or you come to Hosea for another example, chapter 13 verse 5, a word to Ephraim. I did know thee in the wilderness. Not a casual knowledge, but a particular knowledge. A very personal knowledge. You see where we're going. Then you think of the words of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel chapter 10 verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Are you getting excited now? There's something, friend, in this word, know. I am the good shepherd, and I specially, particularly, know my sheep. There's more to come. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And then Paul, writing his second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And we could go over many, many scriptures. But what I want to bring out at the end of this evening hour is this, dear friend. The Lord knoweth them. The Lord knows you and me. The Lord knows those that love him. The Lord knoweth. This knowledge is based supremely upon his electing love. Can you take that on board? The knowledge of God for his own is based supremely upon his electing love. The Lord knoweth. He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. He knew you before the world was made. He knew you. He loved you with an everlasting love. Are you getting excited? What a wonderful testimony. The Lord knoweth them that love him. This knowledge is based upon his electing love. It's not a cheap knowledge. It's not a casual knowledge. Like you might say, well, I know so and so. I know so and so. No, this is a deep, a wonderful knowledge that the Lord has of his own. It is utterly and absolutely unique. Let me read to you as we close those wonderful words in Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways are past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? I get very thrilled and very excited at this third and final point, that the Lord knoweth in a special way, in a very particular way. If you are his blood-bought child, he knew you before you ever trusted in him, and he drew you with those cords of love, and he set his love upon you. Wonderful, isn't it? That's my testimony tonight. Can you give such a testimony? The Lord loved me with an everlasting love. This knowledge is utterly unique, and this knowledge is our total comfort. Our total comfort. I love the words that we read in Job. For he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. It's a wonderful thing to be one of the Lord's elect. People get very worried about this and very emotional about this at times. They try to argue about it. Say, it's not fair. I don't understand it. Beloved, I don't understand it. But I thank God for it, that he loved me before I ever loved him. And that's my testimony here this evening. I stand, as it were, alongside with Nahum. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Lord knows those that trust in him. Are you happy at that? Have you got such a testimony to give? I close with the words of Toplady. Oh, how many hymns Augustus Toplady wrote, not only Rock of Ages, but he wrote this hymn, how happy are we, our election who see, and venture, O Lord, for salvation on thee. In Jesus approved, eternally loved, upheld by thy power, we cannot be moved. Are you happy because you've been elected by sovereign grace, that you've been brought to see your need of Christ, and you repented that happy day when Jesus washed your sins away and you don't want to keep it to yourself. You've got a testimony to give and to share in a love which cannot cease. I am his and he is mine. Will you be able to give such a testimony this week to one and another, to your neighbour, to your friend, to a member of your family, someone that you might work with? The Lord opens doors, doesn't he? He gives you opportunities. We lose them so easily. Oh, to be able to give this vibrant testimony of Nahum of old. Tell them that God is good. You might forget much else, but it is enough. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He's my protection. He's my stronghold. And he knows me. He knows me in a very special way. In that home, in that cottage, in that house where I live, at that place of work, he knows those that trust in him. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we ask thy forgiveness this evening as thy people, because we do not speak as we should for our Saviour. And there may be times in our lives when we hide our light under a bushel, because, Lord, we have to confess that perhaps we're ashamed of the gospel. But we pray, Lord, that from this evening onward, each one of us who knows and loves the Lord Jesus as their personal Saviour may go out with that sense of conviction and determination by the grace and the help of the Lord to give a clear word of testimony to those that we meet. And in all things, may he be glorified. Amen.